Why can't we talk about the without getting kicked off of YouTube? Now, I'm not saying Hitler was a good guy, but I kinda wanna know why. Now there's all these conspiracy theories, and the more they talk, I think maybe they're right. But I can't even listen to the convo. I can't even have the conversation without getting canceled by the left and the right. Why can't we talk about the without getting kicked off of YouTube? Now really, I'm not trying to be rude, but why can't we talk about the I didn't say it.
Yeah, sorry, it's been a while since my last broadcast, but man, I've been through a lot. I had to relocate and then relocate again. I lost internet. My phone's broken, which is what I use to get my clips, so I'm having to record in a different way here. And so I apologize about the sound if it's not as good, and obviously the visuals if it's not as polished as usual. It's because I'm trying to adapt and put out a show, crank out a show, regardless of the hardships I'm going through. We are in a spiritual war here, and I guess I'm over the target, man, because I'm getting walloped in real life. But anyways, the show must go on, they say. So, you know, people are reaching that precipice. They're at that breaking point. And I know that's it's a horrible thing in many ways, but it's also a good thing. It's also a good thing because I think the conditioning is so deep and so entrenched because people were born into this matrix system that was constructed by them that they need to reach this level in order to wake up, in order to be open to even listening to the truth. And man, I think we're here.
I don't know how any of you guys are going and going and going. I know you gotta be at the same level of mental health as me. Every day it's something new between the fucking news and the fucking stupid Biden and stupid Trump. And this country's fucked. Every day we're spending more and more money. None of us are getting ahead. The rich people are the ones that are fucking getting ahead. I'm tired of struggling. I've done everything I can. I'm trying to be a good man. I take care of my daughter. I take care of my wife. The best I can. I can't keep going. Every day it's something new. Then on top of that, as if you're not trying to spend money, you have to. Fucking everything's expensive. I own a painting company. I still can't fucking make it. I'm fucking trying, man. I can't look at my daughter and my wife and know I'm failing. I'm fucking Everybody wake up. It's time to stand up. It's time to be tired of this. It's our turn to fucking eat. I want to eat. I want my family to eat. I want you guys to eat. Stand up. Let's go. Stand up, man. Let's fucking eat. I'm tired. Let's help each other. I don't care what your political affiliation is. I don't care what fucking color you are. If you are not eating and you're struggling, eat with me. Let's struggle together then. Let's be a team. Mexico lies, Jews is fighting. The petrodollars are dying. The bonds are defaulting. The monies are inflating. The famines are coming. The markets are crashing. The jobs are seeing. The debts are piling up. The cyber criminals are hacking. The blackouts are coming. The world wars are starting. The West has fallen. It's over, but I still have to go to work Monday morning. I'm tired, bros. I'm tired of this world. When will it be? My turn is to be on top. I'm tired, bros. I'm tired of this world. When will it be? My turn is to be on top.
But people are waking up. There's a massive, I mean massive, J-pill effort going on with people doing all kinds of things just to bring attention to the fact that we have Zionist-occupied governments, and that's why we're all looking like we're Weimar Republic Germany. Like, check out this. Tell me this isn't based.
Yes, hello. Wow, those were two just incredible and amazing speeches. I don't think I can top those. What's really interesting is that we have, over the past 20 minutes now, one, two, three, four, five, there's one more behind that wall, six, seven, eight, nine sheriff's deputies. Why so many deputies, counsel? Anybody want to answer that? Why do we keep calling in more and more and more sheriff's deputies? Because you have upset white Americans here protesting your Jewish terrorism. What part of jailing a man for distributing political and religious literature onto people's lawns is somehow lawful? Doesn't it faze you that when Rick Bradshaw gets in his press conferences and he talks about these migrants who have just kidnapped and sexually assaulted a young woman in Palm Beach County, that to jail the man exposing who's behind the open border is to partake in the open border criminal activity itself, Sheriff? Rick Bradshaw, can he come down here? Can you hit your little buttons and have Mr. Bradshaw come down here, please? Well, I am continuing here, so let's see. We have Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, World Jewish Congress, Office of the Chief Rabbi, Israel, Masorti Foundation, the Postcode for Jewish Life, USCJ. This is all the non-governmental organizations who are behind the open border in this country. And it is on purpose, and it is intentional. It is to destroy the voice and power and institutional generational wealth of white Americans. And every single one of you here knows it. So the real interesting thing about the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society is that the DHS secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, actually came from that organization. And it's hilarious because he was getting grilled by the Congress of the United States. And then his sole reaction was, oh, you're all anti-Semitic. My family and the Holocaust, ugh. He didn't answer any of the questions. I mean, what the hell is the point of a government if you can't follow the laws? Who's the government? I think we all know you are a corporation. Thank you all. Hail Hitler.
And it's not just people doing grandstanding things like that. You know, it's also people just doing little thing, like J-pilling their Uber driver on the way to work. This is awesome. Check it out.
In their book, it says, you and me, we're goyim. We ain't shit. We're cattle. and that we are supposed to serve the Jews, and they have every right to betray us, to manipulate us in order to fulfill that. They see you and me as slaves, basically. Like, they believe in the end times, each Jew will get 2,800 Gentile slaves.
Ooh.
That's in their holy book.
KB.
I swear, bro.
Dog, wait a minute.
I'm telling you.
I'm pissed now. Like, wait a minute. Who said this shit?
This is the Jewish religion in the Talmud. This is their Bible, basically. It says in there that Jesus Christ is rotting.
I'm glad I met you, because I cannot believe this. I'm going to call my sister and tell her about this. She probably know about it, but she ain't really told me about it. But this is what we need to know about.
This truly is the Great Awakening. And man, has it ever taken off? People realizing everything. Everything that we've been taught is a lie. And that our history books, especially, are lies. Lies written by little hat Jews.
Did you know that German high school students learn about U.S. propaganda in their English courses in high school?
Yeah, and American history textbooks are straight up propaganda. And I could tell you how they did it. After World War I, the Carnegie and Rockefeller Foundations didn't want Americans to go back to an anti-war mindset. George Washington had warned Americans to stay out of foreign entanglements in his farewell address. So these foundations attempted to bribe America's four leading historians. They got rejected, no problem. They handpicked 20 college students and flew them to London, gave them $400,000 in student grants. Fast forward 10 years, those 20 students made up the governing board of the American Historical Association, who at the time had massive influence over what went into history textbooks, as well as the training that future history teachers would get. And although the agenda might have changed, they've had control of American history textbooks for generations now. It's why I write books on how information is controlled. The congressionally documented history of fake news. Not just our rights, but how they try to manipulate us to take away our rights. How the banking system was corrupted, and much more. ClassicalLearner.com.
And man, it's coming out everywhere. The JQ is coming out everywhere. Check this out. This was on Twitter Spaces, and in this meeting that was hosted in part by Donald Trump Jr. So I'm sure this got to his daddy. This is awesome. You got, like I said, this is the Great Awakening on steroids, man. This is our hope on how we win this.
And how did we get to the point where we have a government who isn't nationalist, who doesn't seem to really care about the country at all? How do we even get to this point? How do we avoid getting to this point in the future in your eyes?
AIPAC.
That's how.
Any other indicators other than foreign powers, anything warning signs we can look out for as a country?
I mean, I just don't understand how you have a country where your politicians have more allegiance to a foreign nation than they do their own. And when you have that, it's impossible for anybody to be operating in the best interest of their country. And when they've got an AIPAC agent following them around and telling them what to do and what to say, I mean, you've got treason, and that's what we have. I honestly think that we have literal treason going on right now, where Israel's interests are being put before America's interests. And as long as that goes on, I mean, I don't have much hope.
We have on stage Mr. Trump. You have your hand raised. Anything you want to add to this conversation?
A few moments later.
What can people do about it, Dan? It sounds like you paint a pretty bleak picture of what's going on in this country. What can people do? How do we address this? Or are we just fucked?
I mean, you have to get rid of AIPAC. You have to get rid of, the Israeli control over our country. I mean, there's just because they clearly don't give a shit about it. So,
but I mean, what can the people do? Let's focus on what the average person who has access.
And as people are getting ready to start taking things physical, it looks like that. It really does look like there is a worldwide pogrom right at the door, man. It does. I think this is coming. Obadiah 18, as Dustin Nemos let us know in that interview, that prophecy that there will be no more Jews after this. I think there could be something to that. I truly do. Check this out.
This message is for my Gen X brothers and sisters. Looks like it's time for us to clean up this fucking shit show. After all, half of us went to prison, the other half went to the military, so we've got the necessary skills. Not including the fact that we were raised by World War I and II and Korea and Vietnam veterans, so we're pretty familiar with guerrilla tactics, right? All we ever heard about at the dinner table was they. They shot Bobby, they shot JFK, they shot Martin Luther King Jr., and they shot Malcolm X. Well, we sure as shit know who the fuck they are now, don't we? You were raised feral for a reason. It's gonna take a feral generation to save this country. So come out from underneath that fucking desk. We saw that shit worked out in Red Dawn. It's our time to step up, folks. See you on the flip side, motherfuckers.
So this is information warfare. We all know this. It's been like that since the COVID crime against humanity started, man. And the enemy, their tactics, what they call it, is Hasbara. It's an actual Israeli government program where they pump out the information. But we're on to them. We're on to them. And we're going to win this because they cannot compete with the organic human beings that are their adversaries. Us.
Israel's propaganda machine penetrates every sphere of influence, from mass media to social media. In fact, there's a term specifically for Israeli propaganda called Hasbara, which in Hebrew means explanation. 972 Mag describes Hasbara as a form of propaganda aimed at an international audience. It's meant to influence the conversation in a way that positively portrays Israeli political moves and policies, including actions undertaken by Israel in the past. Often, Hasbara efforts include a negative portrayal of the Arabs, and especially of Palestinians. The more the Israeli military ramps up its aggression, the more it ramps up its Hasbara. During that same massacre in Gaza, thousands of sock puppets and Hasbara trolls emerged online to defend the mass killing of civilians and edit history in real time. One Israeli university has more than 400 volunteers working in a Hasbara war room to argue pro-Israel talking points online. Even school courses teach how to edit for Wikipedia, offering prizes like hot air balloon rides for those who complete the most historical revisionism.
I came here to learn more about how we as Israelis and as Jews can defend Israel online, on the internet, and particularly in Wikipedia in this case.
As a way of example, if someone searches the Gaza flotilla, we want to be there. We want to be the guys who influence what is written there, how it's written, and to ensure that it's balanced and Zionist in nature.
The information war extends even to dating websites, like this important information hub, Tinder. According to The Nation, several dating profiles that only displayed pro-Israel messages were created during the siege. Twitter Hasbara ranges from costly promoted tweets by Netanyahu to a never-ending stream of infographics, like this one, which implies that the hundreds of houses being bombed in Gaza were legitimate targets because they contained weapons stockpiles and command centers. Or this cartoon, proving that Israel's moral superiority was the reason civilians in Gaza were dying from its bombs. Their propaganda ignores that even if cases exist where human shields are being used, it's still a war crime to attack them. Nonetheless, the term has become the crux of Hasbara, and it's used to absolve Israel every time it bombs a hospital, refugee center, home, or school.
What Hamas wants to do is have a lot of civilian casualties, and they use this strategy of human shields for a reason, because they think it works. They think that Israel will be blamed for these civilian casualties.
There have been consistent and very credible reports of the civilian population being used as shields by Hamas during the fighting on the ground specifically.
We have video, and you have it in your possession, where Hamas is encouraging their civilian population to run toward targets that Israel has distributed leaflets to stay away from.
In 2014, Israel's economics minister said on CNN, Hamas is conducting massive self-genocide, taking women and children and placing them next to missile launchers. The fact that the kids were playing on the beach is irrelevant, said Bennett, because, quote, we find these launchers all over, at the beach, in hospitals, and homes. You have the living room and the missile launching room. Israel has to make ridiculous cartoons showing resistance forces in Palestine using human shields because it has no actual evidence. Yet the term is repeated without question across the establishment press to justify its bombing of civilians. In The Independent's Myth of Hamas Human Shields, it reads, some Gazans have admitted they were afraid of criticizing Hamas, but none have said they have been forced by the organization to stay in places of danger and become unwilling human shields. Amazingly, Israel is the one with a documented history of using human shields.
So there are a lot of sock puppet accounts. There are a lot of people that are paid Hasbara shills, basically Shabbos goy or Jews themselves. You know, they're getting the money, the shekels, to put out the Israeli talking points. And you also got a lot of brainwashed people. And here's how you can tell, because they all kind of sound like this.
Zapatero, ¿qué opina usted del gobierno de Zapatero? Pues igual que yo. ¿Y qué opina usted? ¿Qué opina usted? ¿Qué opina usted del gobierno canario? ¿Y de los ayuntamientos de la isla? Vamos a ver, ¿qué es lo que pasa con los alcaldes? ¿Qué es lo que pasa con los alcaldes? ¿Qué es lo que sí? ¿Qué está pasando con los alcaldes? ¿Qué está pasando con el? ¿Qué pasa con el presidente del gobierno? ¿Qué pasa con los presidentes? ¿Y qué es lo que pasa con los alcaldes de la isla? ¿Qué es lo que está pasando con los concejales? ¿Qué pasa con los concejales? ¿Qué es lo que pasa? Vamos a ver, mire.
Like, everyone in Western countries is getting sick of hearing Jews, Zionists, play the fake victim card. You know, the victim card is decline. And, you know, they're coming up with interesting ways to communicate this, and some of them are kind of funny. Check this out.
ZVH, how can I help you? Yes, you've come through to the Zionist victim hotline. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so you're feeling triggered and threatened, right? Well, it is on the rise, that's for sure. Can I ask, what was the incident? Really? A watermelon badge? These people have their no shame. Yeah. No, it's a lot to deal with. Yeah, I can definitely empathize. Did you mention October 7? You did. That's great. That's good. Oh, they spoke about the 76 years of occupation. Interesting. They're really learning about the history that we've been trying so hard to cover up all these years, aren't they? Oh, okay, so here's what I think you should do. I think you should wear as many Star of David as you can. Yep, the same Star of David that we use to brandish Palestinian prisoners, amongst other things. And just call it anti-Semitic. Yeah, no, it works like a charm. Yeah, we've been doing it for decades. And just remember that we are God's chosen people and we have the most moral army in the world. And nothing is going to stop us from getting that beachside apartment in the Mediterranean Sea. Am I right? You bought your timeshare already, right? Oh, fabulous. I know. I can't wait.
Yeah, so they've gone too far. They've all this anti-Semitism laws and hate speech laws and, you know, what college students in the United States can say and can't say. And, you know, they did all this in USSR. In fact, the first thing that the Bolshevik Jews did when they took over Russia was put in anti-Semitism laws. But, you know, they got an act of genocide going on. Everyone's waking up that they're responsible for the COVID crime against humanity. Everyone's waking up for all of this. And the worst thing they can do is overplay the hand. And guess what? That's what they did.
When someone tries to make speech illegal, you know what I'm going to do? Is I'm going to do that speech. Because you can go fuck yourselves, that's why. And I would use that speech to point out that Google was founded by three Jewish people. The New York Times was founded and owned by a Jewish family, the Sulzbergers. Instagram and Facebook are obviously both run by Jewish people. David Zaslav is the president and CEO of Warner Bros. Discovery, who is also CNN. He's Jewish. Bob Iger, CEO of Disney. He's Jewish. Just a quick reminder how much Disney owns. We're talking FX, Marvel, ABC, ESPN, National Geographic, Pixar. You know, they even own Star Wars. Brian Roberts, CEO of Comcast. Remember, Comcast owns NBC, MSNBC, all those. He literally goes to Israel every year to compete in the Jewish Olympics, the Maccabiah Games. Brian Levine is the CEO of Paramount Pictures and Nickelodeon. He's Jewish. The Newhouse family owns Advanced Publications. They're Jewish. In case you wanted to know who Advanced Publications runs, it's all these magazines. I mean, we can keep going, but honestly, the only two that really stand out are X is owned by Elon Musk. We all know what they tried to do to him. And then we have TikTok. I already made a whole reel, or 10, about how TikTok is actually getting banned for other reasons than China. And how, what's his name? Steve Mnuchin? Who is Jewish, is going to try to buy TikTok with all of his buddies. Like, never mind, I'll just let you go watch that one for yourself. I mean, we could keep going, but so far we've hit all of these companies. So, remind me again about the myth of Jews controlling the media, or does this bill outlaw reading too? Because I've just been reading a little bit.
Yeah, they're getting exposed from all angles, man. All angles. Even James O'Keefe is exposing that you need to be a white Jew to be promoted at Disney. And you wonder why Disney's all anti-white and all gay and fake and gay now? Well, this is why.
And in an odd twist, you have to be a white Jewish guy to be considered for a C-suite job. More on that next week.
Now, this next clip is going to prove two things. Two. One, that Jews and Christians are not the same. There's no Judeo-Christian. There's not. There's Christian only. And second thing is that Jews are demonic. You don't think so? Look at this woman. Tell me you don't see the devil in her, because I do.
This video might scare you. Take a look at what happens when a street preacher goes to Jerusalem to preach the gospel and is met by a very strange woman.
You got to believe in Yeshua.
Yeshua died, and the Jewish...
And he rose from the dead. And he rose again. Jesus is alive. Yeshua is alive. He rose from the dead.
You are the devil. You are the murderer of the world.
You're the one acting like a devil, not me. That's you.
I'm a Jewish, and I'm the blessed one. You are the curse. You understand?
No.
הגרמנים בשואה הלכו לדווקא שלי בשואה והם היו ככה.
That's the fruit.
Go to your church. Go to your land. He was fucking asshole. Lord Jesus was fucking asshole.
Wow.
You are dying for you. Die for you.
Yeah.
So why are they like this? Why are they so crazy? Well, for one, there's a gene in the Ashkenazis that predisposes them to schizophrenia, so they're literally nuts, a lot of them. And two, they truly do believe they're better than everybody and that we should kiss their feet and that they're God's chosen and we're jealous of them, so that's why we hate them. No, we hate them because of the crap they're pulling, because they're trying to take over the world. They're murdering civilians because they're genocidal, because they always have been, and because they're bloodthirsty monsters. That's why we hate them. Don't care what they believe. I really don't. I care what they do. But listen to them from their own mouths.
Instead of hating the Jewish people, you should love us. You should kiss our feet, you fool. We're the chosen people, not you. You should actually look at the truth and understand that the Jewish people are the greatest gift to mankind. We're the ones that brought the good to the world, not you.
When God gave us the Torah, the Gentiles were jealous of us. They feel that we think we're elitist. We think we're the chosen people, which, by the way, we are. We do think we're elitist. We are the chosen people. They think that we think only we are the children of God, and we do think that. And we're not embarrassed to say, only the Jewish people are the children of God. The nations of the world are not the children of God. They're not God's children. They're God's creations. They're created with Tzelem Elokim. They're not God's children. And this creates a certain jealousy, And they don't like that. In other words, there's an ethnical reason. They feel that we are elitist. We think of ourselves as better than them, which we do. And therefore, they hate us.
Now, let's not forget, because this is important, who's behind COVID and the Jew job.
To destroy what currently exists in order to lay down the foundations. Says the Maharal, before Mashiach comes and a new world order is instituted, we need to destroy what existed previously. That's Chevli Mashiach. So too, when a child is born, you need to, a woman has to have Chevli Leda, that, as it were, destroys the old and lets a new neshama enter this world. And we need a destruction of society and the world as we know it. We need a revamping and a reshaping of society as we know it. Certainly COVID did that. Certainly COVID made major, major changes in the world.
The sinister Jewish role in the international COVID-19 slavery to genocide initiative. This harmful injection war against the people of this planet is of Jewish religious origin. Jews created a lot of the technology, financed its weaponization, organized its global dissemination, and sit at the apex of its philosophical justification. This is why some people who really know what's happening call it the Jew jab. Start by examining some of the Jews who held key positions that affected how the COVID scenario played out in the U.S. and across the world. Rochelle Walensky, CDC director. Anne Shuchat, CDC deputy director. Sherry Berger, CDC chief of staff. Mitchell Wolf, CDC chief medical officer. Jeffrey Zients, White House coronavirus response coordinator. Andy Slavitt, COVID senior advisor. Richard Rachel Levine, transsexual, Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services. Albert Bourla, Chairman and CEO of Pfizer. Michael Dolsten, Pfizer Chief Scientist. Tal Zaks, Moderna Chief Scientist. Anatoly Alstein, Chief Scientist, Gamaleya Institute for Russia COVID-19 Vaccine. Joanne Waldstreicher, Chief Medical Officer for Johnson & Johnson. Yuval Noah Harari, Jewish homosexual married to a man, head advisor to the World Economic Forum. These are but a few relevant names of people who were in positions to determine if and how the COVID crisis was handled and or how the injections were rolled out. Additionally, and curiously, Israel has never signed the 1972 Biological and Toxic Weapons Convention Disarmament Treaty. According to J. Bart Klassen, MD, the Israeli Mossad infiltrated the National Institutes of Health, NIH, by 1988 and used the facility to orchestrate a large genocidal bioweapons attack on the world. He claims the chief Mossad agent working for the NIH was named Zami Ben Sasson. The BMC Medical Journal reported that white people and black people were the most likely to get sick from COVID-19. But Ashkenazi Jews lack the ACE2 variant the spike protein relies on to get people sick from COVID. Can this be a coincidence? The media pushed the pandemic narrative religiously. Jews. Big Pharma found the solution, which became a new technology called mRNA injections. Jews. The federal government strong-armed employees to take the harmful injections falsely called vaccines. Jews. Social media implemented a hardcore censorship like nothing ever witnessed in America. Jews. In short, COVID-19 was a slavery to genocide war waged against the people of this planet by the Jews.
And now on the rare occasion where one of them actually wakes up and leaves the cult and spills the beans, they confess that what they worship is actually Satan, and they have infiltrated everything. The United States is obviously under the control of the Jews. The intelligence agencies are under control of the Jews. They're all puppets of Jews, man. Can't you tell?
What I experienced as a kid growing up in Judaism, nonstop abuse, nonstop lies, nonstop being programmed to think we're better than everyone else and we should kill everyone else and take their stuff. How and why did Israel kill JFK? How and why did Israel do 9/11 and take over our government? It's anti-Semitism does not exist. Actually, there is anti-Satanism, and I am a proud anti-Satanist because Satan is the deity of Torah, okay? And so all 100%, not all of them know this because they've been psyoped. They think they worship God, a lot of them. They're like the good God who told us to kill all the people, the good God who told us to commit genocide, the good guy who told us to chop off baby penises, the good God who told us to take slaves from neighboring nations. No, that's not the good God, that's Satan. Satan is the deity of Torah. So I'm an anti-Satanist, and I say every single copy of Torah needs to be burned and deleted. That would solve the problem. The Zionist Jews are the most powerful ones, right? But that tribe, that cult, that cabal has de facto 100% control of all sources of American power. Okay, so our spy agencies, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, our military, the White House, Congress, probably most of our judicial system, and a lot of, and our media and lots of other stuff, it's all controlled by that cabal. But yeah, we live in, I call it like the usurped states of Zionism and the Central Intelligence Agency, and the CIA is basically run by Israel. And some people kind of call it Jumerica, and I think there's some truth to that. I think we kind of live in Jumerica at this point, and we need America. And we need to not have a country run by Jews. I mean, that's just the reality. And again, not all Jews, just in case anyone's listening to this recording, I'm not saying all Jews, I'm saying the powerful Jews at the top. It's obvious. Like, you have to be blind not to see this.
Well, the Jews are being exposed like never before. And the awake are starting to really know our enemy.
With the concept of what a Jew is, it's an ethno-religion, so there's an ethnic component too. The ethnic component might be more significant than the religious component. The religious component is extremely problematic, but the ethnic cult that they have about themselves as this chosen, eternally persecuted people who, it goes back to the religious origins with the chosen people myth. They endure even through the diaspora and into these other nations and into ours through a nepotistic cohesion with each other, and a view of themselves as the eternal outsider underdog who has to stick together or else it's going to be another Holocaust. So even the non-religious ones who have essentially a stand-in for the religion, those who you would call a paganistic Jew, you mean like an atheist or something like that, the Holocaust becomes their religion. And which is really what that means is that their religion is that it's us versus them, and if we don't watch out, they're going to kill us. That gives them the right to then kill us first. And so you find them doing all sorts of, they latch on to socialism and communism and open borders-ism and transgender-isms. And you'll find them at the head, spearheading with their money and with their activism and with their journaling and all of the different ways that they can, authoring all these different ideas in the sciences and the medicine. Everywhere they go, they have in them an ethnic identity as an internal outsider that's, you know, they sort of look like us. They can sort of disguise themselves as us, but they see themselves as different from us. It has nothing to do with Zionism. It's not Zionism that causes them to be activists for open border policies. There's a lot of things that are doing that, even big business. But the different way that they use media, the different way that they affect our academy and our schools, and the way that they use money in banking to support this versus that, it's not just all about the state of Israel. Mm-hmm. It's about their survival in all of these different countries, too. They're moving up into the ranks of government and leading institutions and grasping the levers of power so that they can change the scenario in that state, in that country, in that land, to suit their survival as a race. It's not just about creating the state of Israel and the... It's not just about the Third Temple. It's not just about Zion reigning supreme over the world. It's about them surviving. They see themselves as somebody who has to fight us for their lives.
Yeah. The religious critiques and the leftist communist critiques of Zionism don't touch on that at all, what you're talking about, Big Tech, right? So it's a clear, huge other picture of what's going on.
Right.
That's not in the conversation. about.
You got a lot of, exactly. You got Jews that are anti-Zionists on both sides that are still, they're not on our side. It's like two sides fighting for us, I know, for against, but they all still do like things that are anti-American or anti-white or anti-Western or anti-European or anti-Republic. They do all these things. They're pro-liberal. They need a liberal, multi-gender, multi-ethnic, racially ambiguous environment. That's where they're the most safe. When the more liberal the society is, the more safe they are.
We were warned about this a long time ago. Here's Eustace Mullins, who died in 2010. You know, I'm not sure when this is recorded, but man, he's laying everything out. This is like exactly what's happening.
Does Israel control the foreign policy of the United States?
Israel completely controls the United States. In fact, Ariel Sharon, president of Israel, has said that repeatedly, publicly. It's very seldom picked up by the press. But he says, the United States will do anything we tell them to. Not ask them to, but tell them to. Don't forget they put a bill through Congress to control the Internet, and it was ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court because it was totally unconstitutional. There was no justification whatsoever. The Supreme Court represents the occupation government because the government is always an occupation government representing somebody else. The government does not represent the American people, because the democracy is supposed to be representative government. Now, Washington today does not represent any American, except in a very tenuous way.
Was 9/11 an inside job?
100%. What I called it publicly, I was quoted in the New York Times after 9/11, I said it's a typical government operation. And I don't know anybody that said it better. And that appeared in the New York Times in the Frank Rich column, and Frank Rich printed it, but he didn't offer any rebuttal.
Is it a United States government job, or is it a Zionist inside job?
Well, it's more a Zionist inside job, okay. Because the Zionism is the government in Washington. Everybody knows that.
So the United States government is controlled by Zionists?
Yes. Well, in Congress, have you ever heard any congressman stand up and make a speech denouncing Israel? Well, you won't.
With that said, and these bankers know that, you know, their time could be limited, no matter how much money they got, what would they be capable of doing?
Well, right now they're capable of staying on top of the current. And they have enough money to buy into anything they want to. So they're trying to keep control. But of course, they have no control over the Internet. Anything can come on the Internet. And so they're just trying to ride it out. And the protocols of the Elders of Zion are a very debated document which appeared in the 19th century. And supposedly, it's a program by which the Zionists were going to take over the world. The techniques that they would use to do this, by controlling communications and education and governments and so forth. And it's a very detailed program for exercising power. And so this document was immediately denounced, the Zionists denied that it ever existed and so forth. But it was finally brought before a court in Basel, Switzerland, and a judge ruled that the Elders of Protocol of Zion was a forgery. And of course, a forgery is an illegitimate copy, an unauthorized copy of a real document. So the judge's ruling that the protocols of Elders of Zion was a forgery established that there was a real document somewhere called the Elders of Protocols of Zion, although none was produced. And so ever since then, whenever you mention the Elders of Protocols of Zion, they say, well, that was ruled a forgery by the court in Switzerland. And it was ruled a forgery, which meant that it was a copy of a document that it existed somewhere. I mean, when you forge a check for $100, there has to be an original check somewhere for $100 that you forged. So the Elders' Protocols, the Zionists, the same thing. The fact that the court ruled that there was such a document meant that there is such a document somewhere and is eventually produced.
Is the CIA controlled by Zionists?
Well, my book, The World Order, has the only history of the CIA. I went through at least six histories of the CIA, which were between 800 and 1,000 pages apiece. And from that, I got the entire history of the CIA. And I have it all in 10 pages in my book, The World Order. I'm sorry I don't have one with me. But as I say, this so-called friend carried off a copy about a month ago. I told him, I said, this is my print copy. I got to reprint this book. And he said, I'll get it back to you in a week. And I haven't heard from him in 3 weeks.
Tell me about that. How does that start in your book, and where does it go?
Well, I give the entire history of the CIA, which was formed in 1940 in London by the British General Staff. And the chief architect of the CIA, which was established as a branch of the Secret Intelligence Service, SIS of England, which was established by the Bank of England in 1694 and became the best intelligence service in the United States because it had unlimited funds because that was financed by the Bank of England. It was simply a private intelligence agency for the Bank of England, just like the FBI is a private intelligence agency of the Federal Reserve System. When they had the Ruby Ridge Massacre in Idaho, I was traveling there and lecturing at that time. And so I did a talk show, and it was a young interviewer who was asking me about this, and I said, he said, well, what about all these police units that are attacking Ruby Ridge? And I said, those police units are all Federal Reserve police units. And he said, there's no such thing as the Federal Reserve police. And I said, they're all Federal Reserve police. Who do you think pays them? And he cut me off. It's the only time I've ever been cut off on a talk show in my life. The thing went dead.
What is it? You think people just don't want to know, or they just think, or what?
Well, when you tell them the real facts, they don't want to admit it. And so the only thing is to hang up the phone.
Or attack you.
And well, they do that constantly. Whenever you name, once they hang up on you, whenever you mention, your name is mentioned, if somebody says, why don't you have Eustace Mullins on? They said, listen, I had him on, I'd not on this program, and he practically wrecked my whole program. And that's true. I've taken 50 talk shows, hosts off the air in the last 50 years. Never with any intention to do so, but I would say more on the air than they wanted their audiences to hear. And so they would close down the show rather than risk having somebody like me appear on the program again.
Is Mossad connected to the CIA?
It's part of the same operation. In fact, Mossad is generally credited with being totally behind 9/11, and that that was a Mossad operation, that they had a squad of Mossad people on hand at the time it happened. And the New York Times and the New York New York Post both printed stories after 9/11 that 85% of the Muslim world believed that it was a Mossad operation. Well, when 85% of people believe anything, it's worth noticing. But the New York Times printed this to show how insane the Muslims are. And it kind of backfired. It gave legitimacy to what they were saying. Well, if you said that 85% of the people in the United States believe something, then you would have to pay attention to that. And in fact, most all government programs of the last 50 years have been openly opposed by 85% to 89% of the American people. So what do we have except an occupation government? Because when we have a government which is approved by 10% of the people, something is wrong.
You said that Zionists were on hand during 9/11. Where were they?
They were in the buildings around there. They were directing operations, and they were filming, and they were recording, because they wanted a record of the situation. And so there are many stories, I mean pictures, of the buildings being hit by these airplanes, which people have never seen those pictures because they're concealed. But they'll tell you a lot more what actually happened if you're able to see those pictures.
So why do you suppose that they Israel wanted to take out the World Trade Centers?
Well, Larry Selberstein bought the World Trade Center, biggest office building in the world. He bought it in July, a couple of months before this operation. And it was heavily insured. And, of course, when he just bought it, he just made a down payment. So he owed most of the money on it. So when the buildings were collapsed by demolition, which is the only way a building can come down like that, is controlled demolition. Because you can't knock down a 100-story building just by wishing it away. You have to have it takes about 3 months to plan all the electronics and the demolition. And so this, at 9/11, the building sank gracefully, the way they do under any standard demolition operation that you've ever seen.
What's the point? What was the point in them taking the building down?
Well, it changed the world. That was the point.
How so?
Well, the papers said that our world has changed forever and never be the same, which is a very remarkable goal. Just by blowing up two office buildings, you change the world.
What did they get out of it?
Well, they got, first of all, national panic. Second, total government control. And the war on terror, which will go on forever, because we're going to be terrified forever. So we'll always be, there'll always be terror. Terror is the most wonderful thing. I wrote an article, which is on my website, called The Necessity for State Terrorism, in which I conducted an imaginary interview with Joseph Stalin, in which he explained why state terrorism was necessary. And you know, the Bolsheviks, for 70 years, they killed an average of 1 million people a year, which is 70 million people. And that was done without a peep from anybody. Nobody has ever been charged with a single murder. You can kill a million people a year, and there's no blame attached to anybody. Look at this last attack in London. They put a little bomb and a little...
Who did?
Well, I don't know. Supposedly Muslims did. But it looks like a standard Mossad operation, because... I don't know why any Muslims wants to bomb the London subways, because they ride it to work every day.
Okay, so Israel attacked the United States on 9/11.
Yes.
They got Iraqi oil.
Yeah.
They got they're going to have Iran oil.
Yes.
They're going to have Syrian oil.
And Saudi Arabia.
We kind of got that now, but in a kind of roundabout way.
Well, Saudi Arabia apparently has been playing a double game all the way, because the Saudi princes have always banked their money in Switzerland, apparently with Jewish banks. So the so-called Saudi billions are apparently completely controlled in Switzerland by Jewish bankers. The central bank mechanism has enabled the Jews to control all the banks of the world, because central banking is just that, centralized banking. That's all central bank means, that it's centralized banking. And if it's centralized, the Jews can come in from anywhere in the world and gain control of it.
So they control through debt.
Yeah, through debt. Well, control through debt means control through unpayable debt. It's debt that can never be paid. The interest will never catch up with the debt itself.
Is that what they did to the United States government? Is that how they're controlling it?
Oh, yeah.
So the United States government went and borrowed money for wars, and now it can never be paid back, so they're under the control of the...
Well, that's why you had the big spenders, starting with 1933 with Roosevelt. You had big spenders ever since, because the more spenders you have, the more debt you have, the more interest the banks make. It's a win-win proposition. For bankers. And it's a... ruinous proposition for any nation in the world. As I pointed out, since 1885, the Rothschilds were trying to start a world war, because the Zionist International Congress at Basel, Switzerland, has called for three world wars. At the end of the third world war, they would control the entire world.
at the end of the Third World War?
At which we are now.
Are we in World War III now?
Well, I just filed a court paper in which I pointed out that 1 billion Christians are in fighting a war to the death against 1 billion Muslims, which will leave Israel in charge of the world, which was predicted at the 6th International Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland in 1896. They had a speaker there who said, we're going to have three world wars. And in 1896, there had never been a world war. And so after the Zionist Congress in 1896, you had World War I, World War II, and now we have World War III. Jewish people feel like they can be safe only if they control the world, because they have developed a mythology throughout the world that no matter where a Jew goes, he's going to be killed by somebody, and that everybody hates Jews and everybody wants to kill them. Well, you won't find that. In the United States, we have provided a haven for Jewish people from all over the world for 400 years. There's never been a pogrom, which is a Jewish name for attacks against Jews. There's never been a pogrom in the United States in 400 years. Yet we have multi-million dollar organizations like the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, which claim that there's enormous activity, anti-Semitic, throughout the United States, and that Jews are in immediate peril of annihilation here. And this is pure mythology. There's no basis for it whatsoever. But on the basis of this mythology, they raise hundreds of millions of dollars of tax-exempt money in the United States, and the Internal Revenue Service and the Federal Bureau of Investigation both completely back this program of illegal money raising for a fake organization. And they all should be in prison for it.
Well, why do you suppose that Jewish people are so paranoid?
Well, because that's part of their religion. Because from the beginning in the new history of Jews, I point out that they have always believed in ritual human sacrifice, and this has caused objections everywhere they've lived. And it's their own practices which bring down retribution on them. It's not because anybody hates Jews. I don't think you hate Jews.
I don't hate Jews at all.
And I don't hate Jews because I have no reason to hate Jews.
Why do they hate us?
Well, because we're in the way.
Of what?
Of their world power. They want world power, and the only way they can obtain world power is to get rid of us.
So then we're talking a major war.
Oh, yes, eventually. The thing is that when you talk about a major war, you have to realize that most people don't care one way or the other about the Jews. So how could you have a major war about Jews? Well, the answer is they manipulate people, because we've had two world wars, and we're at World War III at the present time. Well, how did these three world wars come about? By manipulation. We marched into the desert in Iraq, which was part of the old Ottoman Empire. There's no such thing as an Arab country, because they were Turkish provinces for many years. And so we were fighting in Iraq for a country that didn't exist before 1919. And that's becoming a major World War III between Muslims and Christians.
Who are the terrorists?
Anyone who opposes Israel is a terrorist. That's where the word originated. We never heard of terrorists 50 years ago.
Who considers you to be an anti-Semite?
The Jewish people consider Ezra Pound and myself as the real anti-Semites. They must be attacked and denounced every time the name is mentioned. When I published the Federal Reserve book in 1953, over 50 years ago, the book was immediately attacked publicly by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, the same people who got me discharged from the staff of the Library of Congress, the only person ever discharged from the staff of the Library of Congress for political reasons in its entire history, because usually people at the Library of Congress are not politically active, and I was not politically active. I had never voted in an election at the time, and I was fired from the Library of Congress. So that shows you what an activist I am.
Do you think that they are going to stage another 9/11 event?
Oh, they almost have to. It has to be something further. I've said for a year, at least a year, that they've got to have another 9/11. And I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, so it turns out what they were going to do is COVID crime against humanity. What they were going to do is the war in Ukraine. And what they're going to do is the Gaza genocide. And I'm getting this from multiple sources here. I'm getting this from Russian sources. I'm getting this. Hungary confirmed this. Viktor Orban. And here's a clip from the president of Serbia saying that it looks like they're going to try to go to war with Russia within 3 to 4 months or sooner. I think it's going to be sooner. I'll tell you a bit more on this, but first listen to this clip.
Ukraine has left the station and no one can stop it. And it looks like that, and I believe that we are getting close to the last days of possible rethinking and reconsidering of everything that is happening in Ukraine. If those big powers don't do anything in a short period of time, yes, I'm pretty much certain that we'll face a real disaster. If you bet on a fact that someone is bluffing, it means that you have no better cards. But you just believe that the other side has weaker cards. And you're not sure about it because you don't know and you didn't see his or their cards. Everybody is speaking only about war. Nobody wants to reach the peace. Nobody speaks about peace. Peace is almost a forbidden word. And please notice this. Because they say we need to win in order to secure future peace, but nobody's speaking about a peace, and then, okay, you negotiate it. But you have the other side, you have to have the other side on the table as well. It's, it's very strange to me that no one is actually attempting to stop the war. There is another theory, which I can understand, which I don't say that I do approve, but I understand that West thinks that they can win easily against Putin. They want to exhaust him in Ukraine, and then they will enter the space, and then Russia in today's territory and shaped like it is today won't exist anymore, and Putin will be overthrown and everything else. Yeah, maybe that's possible, but
do you think that is possible? Is it possible to use Ukraine
Russia? It weakened Russia anyway. Mm-hmm. But is it enough to destroy Russia and to overthrow Putin? I don't believe so. In today's Europe, they all act like big heroes. But they did not say to their people that they will pay a very big price. And speaking about it, you and all these leaders should do absolutely everything in order to stop any kind of warmongering behavior and everything. Why I'm speaking that we are getting close to the precipice, to the abyss. Analyze the situation of NATO and the United States. They cannot afford themselves losing war in Ukraine, which means Russia cannot win. Because, first of all, their political legacy will not exist, or it will be so poor that they cannot allow themselves. Number two, position of Europe and the West, collective West, in geopolitical terms, will deteriorate so much that no one would be able to revive it and to renew it. And number three, it will open Pandora's box for more movements, at least, and hostilities against collective West in the future. But take the other side. That's a nice story for one side. But take the other side. If Putin loses the war, Russia will not exist and won't be shaped like it is today. And then when you have these two sides so much far from each other, with their wishes, with their expectations, then you see that everything is at stake. Everything. No one can afford to himself or to itself, to themselves, to lose. When you have this situation, that's why I was saying to you, that's why I was saying publicly and not hiding it, that we are getting closer to a real disaster. Sorry. Who is ready to lose 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, 10 and 15 million people? Ask yourself. I'm not ready to lose a single man, and we won't participate in that. But it's a question for some other people.
How close are we now to a third world war, a confrontation?
I cannot say a third world war, but a big confrontation, how far we are. I believe that we are not far away from it. Not more than 3-4 months. And there is a danger to happen even before that.
Where do you stand in this whole insanity? Where does Serbia stand in this conflict?
We'll keep peace, stability, and tranquility within the region and in our country.
Now, this is why the collective West, or many countries in the collective West, are all talking about instating the draft. Rishi Sunak, although I don't think he's going to be there for very long, said if you don't serve, then they're going to tie it to your bank accounts and all that. I'm not going to bother playing you the clip because the guy's irrelevant. He ain't going to be there. In the United States, they're talking about, they've already passed the legislation that they're automatically enrolling people for the draft without any consent. But it ain't going to happen. It's not. They need the support of the people to go to war. They do. They can't just pull a Zelensky, and especially in a place like the United States where everyone's armed, or Canada for that matter, because we're going to fight. It ain't going to happen. Soldiers are waking up. They know that they're not serving we the people, that they're serving Israel. They're serving Jews, and they're not going to want to die for Jews. And Russia is giving missile defense systems to Lebanon, to Syria, to who else did they give to? I'm not sure if they got one to Yemen yet. They gave one to Iran. Yemen, they might even give hypersonic missiles. And right now the United States is sending an aircraft carrier there. And what do you think is going to happen to that? Well, here's what happened to the last one, just with regular missiles. But if this was a hypersonic missile, this thing would go down. So people are just not going to fight for their government because we hate them.
We declare that the United States is our enemy. But you guys will help us out if something happens, right?
Mm-mm.
No, we fucking hate you arguably more than they do.
Why the fuck would anyone go to war for you? I'm 100% disabled fucking veteran. And guess what they do when you get out? First they break you down and they brainwash you. And then they tell you, hey, you're a soldier now. You're an airman now. You're a marine now. You're a sailor now. Stand with pride in your uniform that costs like $800. $1,000 that you have to pay out of your own paycheck. They don't just give it to you. You gotta pay for it. And then after they brainwash you, they throw you the fuck in the trash. Nobody wants to go to war for you. You don't take care of the American people. You don't take care of the service members. And by God, you goddamn it, don't fucking take care of the veterans. Fuck you!
Let me get this right. You want to pass a law to draft my daughter to send to another one of your foreign fucking wars for something you created so your arms manufacturers can make more money for your banker friends. Did I get that fucking solid right or not? Now, wrong, elephant breath, my daughter will not be joining the military any way, shape, or form unless it's to fight this fucking war that this government has started against its people. See how simple that is? The very fact that you don't understand the societal fucking rules about women and children, let me school you a little bit. Now, the fact of the matter is you can't make your fucking recruitment numbers because your recruiters told so many lies like, oh, yes, you get the condo on the beach when you join up. Oh, you get to start here, but we're going to switch you to what you really want later. And the biggest boner up the ass, the VA will take care of you if you got hurt. Hey, the reason you can't meet the recruitment goals is because these young men have already voted with their fucking feet. They're not going to fucking fight. And the fact that you think you're going to get the women to fight, let me put it to you this way. It was one thing when you oppressed us with unbelievable fucking taxes. One thing, because we were living in nice homes and still eating pretty good. It's another thing when you spied on us to the degree that you did and made us realize that we don't have any freedom. It's another thing when you not only wrecked the fucking economy, but you fucking did it in such a way where you spent so much fucking money that went to special interest groups that the people never had a chance to benefit from it. And now, when you have people that are homeless eating canned goods out of the back of their fucking car, you know what? They may do that for themselves, but they're not. Their kids are not going to go through that. Motherfucker, you're going to find out what people will do for their fucking children. You protect women and children because it's a societal norm. It has nothing to do with being sexist or unequal in any way. The fact is, you should always protect people that are weaker themselves and always stand up for the right fucking thing. And the right fucking thing here is, if my daughter is going to be in a war, she's not going to have to go to a fucking foreign country to fight it. Fuck your taxes, fuck your withholding, fuck your FEMA, fuck your IRS, fuck you, fuck your corrupt Congress, fuck your corrupt presidents, fuck your entire election process. You know, I could go on forever, but let's face it, the world's not going to live that long before a fucking meteor solves a problem for us. So, fuck you. And if anybody doesn't like what I'm saying, you know what you can do.
NATO is openly threatening China, accusing it of fueling Russia's war on Ukraine. Jens Stoltenberg, the NATO secretary, has been on a media tour calling for economic war with China because they had the audacity to have friendly relationships with their neighbor.
Then we should consider some kind of economic cost if China doesn't change their behavior, because now China is the main supporter of Russia's war effort.
The audacity of NATO and the West to accuse China of fueling Russia's war machine after it was NATO who propped up the Civil War and coup in Ukraine in 2014. We have NATO accusing China of bankrolling human rights atrocities in Ukraine, as we have the United States, UK, and Germany that is bankrolling and providing diplomatic immunity to Israel as they commit a genocide of the Palestinians. The international rules-based order has always just been rules for thee, but not for me. Violent Western hypocrisy. There's nobody who violated more human rights, who supported other dictators and tyrants who violated human rights more than the United States and the West. NATO is getting so desperate after their failed war against Russia that they are now threatening nuclear war. When asked about NATO deploying nuclear weapons, Jens Stoltenberg essentially said that NATO had to send a message to the world that they are a nuclear alliance and that, hey, it would be a shame if we ever had to use these. These motherfuckers really about to start a nuclear war over Ukraine and Taiwan. Russia and China is not your enemy. The United States and NATO is the number one threat to global peace and stability. Do not allow these oligarchs to trick you into fighting their battle.
So ain't no one gonna go fight for our government. We'll fight against our government. Mark my word on that. We're gonna not fighting for our government. Not for the Jews, anyhow. Not for for all this crap that they're trying to pull off. And after they put the jab mandate to the military, you know what they did? They got a lot of ex-military that got pissed off, and guess whose side they're fighting on? They're fighting on Russia's side. So, yeah, checkmate.
Yes, good evening. We've got a really interesting story for you tonight. We've got a genuine former US Marine who's just joined up with us, which is really good. So let me you introduce yourself.
Hello, guys. I'm Seth William Baker, formerly in the United States Marines. Here's my picture.
It is a good uniform, though. It's almost like Hugo Boss.
But there's many reasons that I came here, but one of the big tipping points was when I was a Lance Corporal. I was due for promotion the next month, and they came out with the COVID vaccine mandate in the military, and I'm a young, healthy man, and I've already had COVID before, and so I don't need that. And so there was a few of us, not very many, unfortunately, that said, we're not going to take it. And so they kicked us out, so I lost my promotion to corporal. I was also in the process of becoming a police officer in the state of Arizona, and I lost my place at the police academy as well. So very, very rough things. And so there's all this talk of freedom in America, but not for some of us, I suppose.
Yeah, I've had the same thing. I've been completely destroyed by the British state. They took everything off me as well. I wasn't even allowed, after I got out of prison for fighting in the Donbass, I wasn't even allowed to work. You know, they took everything from me. So how are you dealing with the heat here? I know you're from Arizona, so...
The heat's pretty rough here. It does get actually as hot as Arizona. The other day it was 37, 38 Celsius, yeah, so it was up there.
You know, in Donetsk, it gets even hotter.
Well, then hopefully this Arizona blood will come in handy then.
I know those Saxons and Celts here aren't doing so well, but I'm dealing with it. I'm acclimatizing to it. It's so, Seth, it's good to have you here. Let me shake your hand. Well done. Good lad.
So, things might get a bit sketchy. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because the Goyim know. And the Jews know that the Goyim know.
There are too many people waking up. There are too many Americans, more and more of them, that are suspicious of Israel. More and more Americans aware of Zionism. This has been around for decades and decades. You go back to the 50s, 60s, there's a lot of literature about Zionism, about Judaism. It's not unusual, but the difference is today, more and more people are waking up to it. It's been a real tipping point where you always had maybe about 0.5% of the population that was aware of Zionism, that did not like Jews and whatnot, but they were never part of the mainstream. They were always dismissed as conspiracy theorists. They had no influence. So they were not really a threat. But that has changed. And you know that has changed. Anyone paying attention knows that has changed. We have seen a big change in comment sections on YouTube. Many people making references to Zionism. It has become a part of the nomenclature through the influence of 8chan, 4chan, many, many websites, and ultimately many, many YouTube channels that have been speaking the truth very aggressively for many years, but it has really gotten attention lately. It is somewhat of a cumulative effect, a snowball effect, where more and more people start to wake up to the truth and the facts, and it just expands, and people become more accepting of it, and they start to say, okay, it's okay for me to look at the information. I'm not an anti-Semite for looking at it. And they really start to cook for people. So this has been a big change in the recent past few years. What happened is that Israel, its agents, its propagandists, have been playing very, very, very close attention to this over the past few years. They know this is happening. They are very concerned about it. We're talking about 0.5% of Americans who have some idea of Zionism and they're against it and they understand it. That number is now about, I saw two numbers. They said 15%, and another one said 7%, but that is a very large number of Americans that have woken up to what's going on with Israel and Zionism and the Israeli lobby and the influence. They're unafraid to hate Israel. That number is very high, and it has them very concerned.
So, are there a lot of people still brainwashed? Yeah, there is. But 7 to 15% are awake to the Jew now? I think it's much more than that. Much, much more than that. And you know what? Bit by bit, we're chipping away, and we're freeing people from the matrix. We are breaking the system. Are you brainwashed still? If you're watching this, chances are you're not. But it's time for the rest of humanity to wake up.
In a world where power reigns, I'm the master, and the system is my name. Manipulating all your minds, you are all pawns in my game. Fake democracy, a charade, a masquerade, while the truth is being censored and your freedom is betrayed. Welcome to the system. Choose your side and play the game. While I'm laughing at your choices, little snowflake, you are lame. I'm tagging you as left or right, black or white, feel free to say that you're free to choose your tag, but I'm choosing for you the right cage. While you're fighting and dividing, I'ma conquer both sides. Please sit down and watch the news. I need you brainwashed, tamed, and quiet. Don't come up with all those questions why I'm funding genocide. Don't forget I can take everything I gave in a blink of an eye. I'm giving you democracy, feel free to think you're glorified, while I'm making you believe that being offended means you're right. You can complain, in the end I'll choose what you need to condemn. While children realizing the monsters are not under the bed, it's Israel murdering them. Turn a blind eye, don't try to turn the table around. You're the one who choose your rulers and your crowns. And now you want to burn down the circus, but there are too many clowns. Palestine, Sudan, Congo, you care for those grounds, but you voted for the butcher who smelled money like their hounds. Oh, let's talk about the media, so wise and fair, spreading truth and honesty with the utmost care. But wait, what is it? A hint of sarcasm, you say? Well, let's dive into the world of Western media charade. Genocide? Oh no, that's far too strong of a word. Let's call it conflict, where one side's right and all the lies are blurred. The innocent lives lost, homes destroyed. That's absurd. Little ship, stay in the line, is too dangerous outside of the herd. Behold the system. Manipulating the media and politics with precision. Because I can, I'm changing your perception, canceling the truth and orchestrating a grand deception. A mastermind of propaganda weaving a web of lies, obscuring the genocide where innocent blood dries. I twist the facts and I'm manipulating all the news. Divert attention, create a smokescreen. My mission is to confuse. Genocide? Oh no. It's merely a clash of two sides, a complex situation where reality just hides. In the realm of Palestine, a tragedy unfolds, a systematic oppression, and the story is left untold. But fear not, my dear puppet, for I got it all under control, crafting a narrative that keeps you hypnotized and the truth just stays on hold. I silence the voices of the oppressed, erase their plight, and replace it with distraction just to keep them out of sight. Celebrity scandals, trivial gossips, and an empty debate. Anything to distract while injustice perpetuates. I control the agenda, shape the public perception, spinning tales of false neutrality. It's just a clever deception. I mold the minds of the masses, spoon-feeding them lies, creating a narrative and headlines. Please, just don't open your eyes. Oh, the joy I find in seeing you strive to outsmart me, to keep all your hopes alive. But here's a secret, my friend. You cannot win. I'm always one step ahead, anticipating your every spin.
Now, I always like to include a song in this, and I think this one fits. I think you will too.
Look at these heaps with their wooden doors. Go away. We don't believe no more. Time to leave or there'll be a fight. We're very tired of how you're treating whites. I just wish we were here all alone. Get away. This continent's our home. It's the reason our grandpa.
Changes, and we're going through changes, and we'll all emerge from the other side, and we'll be stronger. We will. Here's a little funny message that might put a smile on your face.
If you're serious about change, just know you're gonna go through some uncomfortable situations. Stop trying to dodge the process. Because in the long run, it's gonna make you better. And don't forget that shit, you heard?
Well, that's all I got for you today, Patriots. Again, I'd like to apologize for if there's audio issues in this video, or it wasn't quite as polished as it usually is, because you know, my phone's broken, so I had to adapt and find a way, and you know, I did. At least I got a show. Again, my apologies. Went through a lot of hell in the last little bit, you know, and I'm able to do this because your contributions. Here's the magical link. GiveSendGo.com/SonofEnos. You know, yeah, I'm dependent upon your donations to keep going here. My friend told me the other day that she said she thinks I'm like a warrior monk. that in order to do this, that I had to basically take a vow of poverty. Because, you know, I could be making a lot more money doing a lot of other things, but I'm 100% in this. This is a war for the world, and if we don't win, there's nothing. Money is not going to solve that. So, you know, starting a business, which I've done most of my life, would be my other option, but that takes my full time, and I couldn't do that and this, and I choose this. So it's your you know, contributions that keep me going. And another message for the fellow that sent me these guys. Yeah, I got your message, and I will send you a letter. I just need a bit of time to do that. Yeah, I got it. I'm interested in hearing what you got to say. So, good. You know, like, we're in this, and the end game, you know, I can see it. You can see it, I'm sure. Like I said earlier in this episode, we got like maybe 3-4 months, according to multiple sources, or perhaps before that. I actually think it'll be before that, where everything comes to a head. Definitely before the United States elections. That's how I'm anticipating everything. I can't see them letting the elections go through. You know, I just can't see it. I can't. They can't. Donald Trump is a wild card. Yeah, he looks like he's a Zionist, and maybe he's playing some 5D chess. Maybe he's not. I don't know. My friend Dustin Nemo seems to think Donald Trump is the Antichrist. I'm not going to go there. I don't see that, you know. It's possible. Anything's possible. But, you know, I don't got the evidence for that myself. And my gut feeling is not telling me that, you know, he's the Antichrist. You know, he might be compromised by Jews, unfortunately. I don't know. I can't look into his soul and tell you. I do have a lot of questions. I do have a lot of concerns, a lot of worries about that, man. You know, I wish I could be, you know, back in the day where I was trusting the plan and everything seemed to, you know, that made things easier. And that was during the dark days of COVID, right? Like, if you're a Q person or formerly a Q person or whatever, you know, like, you should know that during that whole time and that process, you know, like the Freedom Convoy, they were building they had built concentration camps in Canada, and they were starting to fill them with purebloods. So things were dark. And we had the Freedom Convoy, and everybody, or not everybody, but the vast majority, you know, I was there, vast majority of the people were Q people. They're all awake, so they were, Q gave them courage, you know, and maybe if that didn't happen, the world would look very different right now. I think so. So I'm not going to crap all over everything. That's not my nature. I don't, you know, suddenly do a 180 and turn on things. You know, I might change my perspective, you know, as new information comes forward, but I'm not going to become like, you know, a Judas and all of a sudden go 180 and hardcore against everything that at one time I believed in. You know, I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's not true. You know, I'm not trusting a plan right now. I'm trusting God's plan. That's who I'm trusting. You know, and in the end, that's what's important. You know, we're getting to that crossroads. We're getting to that precipice. We're getting to that that peak. You know, and just look at the anger and the frustration in people. You know, that everyone's struggling. I know I am. You know, everybody is. And when those people understand who's responsible for everything that we've been through, you know, the genocidal Jews, you know, that Obadiah 18 prophecy that Nemos was talking about, like I said, I think there's something to that, and I do think it's going to come to a head. If anyone's got an extra phone, Factory who said it. You can mail it. There's my mailing address is in the description. And there's been a slight change because, you know, I'm a ghost. I don't want my actual identity getting out. So the person that whose name the mailbox is in, they were getting questions and they wanted me to give them my ID and stuff like that. So if you're going to mail me something, just either leave it blank or put marketing because that's what they told the person that runs the UPS or whatever it is, or that hosts the mailbox, that they're running a marketing campaign. So anything that you want to me, they just put the address, leave it blank for who, or put the word marketing, and that's how it will get to me. So you know, chin up. Things are moving in the right direction, even though it seems like it's going crazy. You know, the Jews themselves are worried. They're truly worried, because we are waking up. The Goyim know, and that's their biggest fear. Till next time, we are the news now. Peace.